Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, the first program we have here in December, December the 2nd, and we thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and Ed Battagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward is filling in for Fred Jackson. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Glad How are you, back. Sir?
I'm stuffed. I'm ready to go. I saw a picture.
Like a turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I saw somebody. It was actually one of Travis Haley here at AFR, but he posted something on Facebook over the weekend, and it said, me before Thanksgiving, and it was like skinny Elvis. Me after Thanksgiving, fat Elvis.
Blow. Yeah. So, that's what we feel like on Friday.
Yes.
Anyway, a lot of folks do. But really, who's responsible for that? We do that to ourselves, don't we?
So who Absolutely. That's you can't claim that you're just bearing your cross.
Let me ask
you. Know,
no.
Just daily. You know, woe is me.
No, you can't spiritualize gluttony very well on Thanksgiving night.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. So Allison, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. We're not big turkey fans.
Yeah, we aren't either.
Does anybody eat? When do people eat turkey, really? I mean, I know
we have ribs
on like club sandwiches, but any other time of the year, do people eat turkey as a chosen meat category?
I like if I go to a sandwich shop, I usually look for some sort of turkey.
Well,
it's lower calorie.
Yeah,
But and
for a main course meal, you don't if you're given the choice between ham and turkey and salmon and steak,
right?
Turkey finishes fourth right there.
Well.
I don't like
ham even more.
You're kidding me.
I never
knew this about you, Ed.
It's okay.
You're excommunicated.
Have you ever been to Honey Bay?
The list that you just made, ham's number four for me. Then comes turkey, then salmon, then steak. Steak's number one.
I'm pretty sure ham is going to be my cause of death.
We're all going to die of something, Chris.
That's right.
Better to go down with the hams, the way I look at it.
Go down with the hams.
Yeah. The ham. Really, I'm surprised. I never knew this about you. And I usually agree on most everything, but I'm going to have to separate from you. On the ham versus turkey thing. Ham is salty, juicy, fattening, unhealthy. Yeah. All those things that make it good for you.
I don't. Right. When I said I meant was I should. It's poor English. I like it less than turkey.
Yeah,
I don't dislike ham, but it's generally going to be my last.
Just hard to keep turkey from being dry. That's the only thing.
Now that is a true.
That's
statement.
A challenge.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Now that we have the menu planned for election night of next year, I'm looking forward.
Well,
to that.
Yeah. All right. Probably have a big turkey farmer who gives to AFR who no longer going to give
because of my.
Tim's going to have to get that
thanks
letter.
Thanks for Tim. I'm just saying I will eat turkey, but it's fourth down my list of favorite meats. But we all have those preferences.
Well, and let me just throw this one other thing
do.
In. Yeah, because, you know, as a pastor for many years, we would have a church Thanksgiving dinner the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Then we would have Thanksgiving. And then, if you got invited to someone's house, it was turkey. And it probably is just a matter of having been just sick of turkey, too much turkey over the years. So that's why the last 10 years
you can inject those things now with a lot of stuff.
Yep.
My father-in-law used to inject his turkeys with Sprite.
Sprite?
Yeah, Sprite.
Huh.
They made them taste great.
Hmm.
You ought to try that son. It's legal.
It's legal.
No, I'm not saying that. You're not doing anything wrong.
It's legal in all 50 states.
Yeah,
all right,
to
okay.
inject turkeys with Sprite.
We can start selling American family turkeys.
Yeah. As I say, don't knock it before you try it.
No way to say, try it. Go out and buy a $40 turkey and try it. And then you don't like it. Well, I'm so sorry.
Huh?
So sorry
I don't know
he
did
like
it,
Sprite.
But he injected it with Sprite, and it made our whole holiday.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Chris.
I'm going to have to break for lunch. I'll
Chris,
be back.
Chris, go ahead and bring us down with some news.
Okay, well, it would be my honor, Mr. President.
Okay.
All right, later this week, the House Judiciary Committee is going to be taking up the impeachment proceedings against President Donald J. Trump.
Is that still going on?
It is still going on. It will probably go on until the end of time, it seems like, at this point. But the House Judiciary Committee, so Jerry Nadler's committee, is going to be taking
we're,
up
we're away
the
from
Intelligence
Schiff
Committee.
Now, right?
Yes.
We moved from Schiff to
Jerry
Nadler.
Yes. Now, Nadler. Republicans do want Adam Schiff to testify before them as part of the Judiciary Committee proceedings. Good luck getting that done. But nonetheless, a number of people want to know what exactly Mr. Schiff knows about this. But now it's Jerry Nadler's turn. And one of the people that's going to be talking about this a lot this week is Congressman Devin Nunes of the Intelligence Committee. Mr. Nunes was on Fox News Channel over the weekend, and he gave a preview of this week's proceedings. Clip one.
Well, we now know that this coming week, Jerry Nadler is going to start, you know, phase two of the circus. Now, Jerry Nadler has been in the witness protection program now for several months after he botched the Mueller probe. So we're going to see how this goes. Suppose you're going to have, like, talk about the constitutionality of impeachment. And look, during the Nixon impeachment hearings, you had an actual break-in. You knew what the crime was. During the Clinton impeachment, you knew that he had lied to a grand jury. I think for 2 weeks, one of the things we were able to expose is that not only did they not have a quid pro quo, they actually had to change quid pro quo to bribery until John Ratcliffe pointed out that the only person that had ever been accused of bribery in Adam Schiff's star chamber down in the basement of the Capitol was Joe and Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now. We'll see. I think it's just phase two of the circus.
Now, you guys have talked about this on this show. You watched part of the proceedings, as did millions of Americans, I guess. But
yeah, but I was forced to.
You were forced to. I was paid to. Thank you for that. And but, I mean, have you seen anything there? Republicans are, you know, making news for saying there's nothing there. Has there been anything to lead you or anybody you know to believe that, well, maybe, you know,
impeached? The president should be impeached?
Yes.
No, not for me. No. I mean, I think this is, if you're going to say, put this in the world of crime, does the punishment fit the crime, so to speak? This is jaywalking, and the Democrats are wanting the death sentence.
I think that's fair. I'm in complete agreement with that assessment.
Yeah.
You know, to me, this is a product of the fact that Donald Trump is not a politician. He's right. A guy who gets things done, probably, you know, probably should not have said things exactly the way he said
in that call, you mean?
In that call with Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that that's actionable. I don't think it's extortion or bribery or any of those things.
And there was a basis. And there was a basis for his request, because
absolutely.
That's the reason Democrats don't want the Bidens investigated.
And the fact of the matter is, Joe Biden was not yet a political opponent for the president.
Right.
And so he, to me, when I say he maybe should have been a little more careful with his wording, to me, what was in the president's mind, if I could be so bold, is he's going, the administration before me oversaw spying on me as a candidate and as when I became a president.
Right.
And this guy, Joe Biden, who is part of that administration, look at the corruption, in his opinion, Trump's opinion, the corruption with his son over there in Ukraine. And I want something done about that. Why are these guys, everyone's always after me? I don't personally think that it had anything to do with the 2020 election. I think it had to do with the 2016 election. But the Democrats are making it as if Donald Trump knew that Joe Biden hadn't even got the nomination yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hadn't even announced, I don't think.
That's what the president was after. This administration, the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, you know, the FBI, the intelligence community, they were hounding me and they were spying on me, and nothing happens to this guy when it seems crooked.
Right.
I want something done. That's what the motivation is to me. It's got nothing to do with his political opponent.
Well, right now, by all accounts, it looks like at least the House, members of the House, they're going to try to vote on impeachment before the end of the year. I've heard before Christmas from various news outlets, talking heads, things like that. It would, of course, go to the Senate where they'll have a trial and decide whether to actually remove the president from office. Speaking of the Senate, there is a soundbite here I want to cue up. Speaking on Fox News Channel, former Senator Evan Bayh, a Democrat from Indiana, he presented a compromise of sorts involving President Trump, Democrats, and impeachment. Clip 5.
We have an election in a few months. Let the public decide. And the Democrats' counterargument to that should be, fine, let's let the public decide, but let's get all the facts out so the public can make an informed decision.
Now, this is interesting because it kind of brings up something Tim's talked before. You know, why don't they just say, we hate his guts, let's vote on it? I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, Bayh presents kind of an argument here. You can do all the hearings that you want to, but let the people decide in November, which seems like the logical thing. However, someone could possibly make the argument that maybe Democrats are trying to find a way out of impeachment trial so that way you can get Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris on the campaign trail in Iowa come January, which is where they're not going to be if the Senate does have a trial.
Okay, now. Before I say this, I agree with, I'm going to say it before I say what I said. Mm-hmm. You understand that, Chris?
Yes. I smell what you're stepping in.
That's not what I'm saying, Chris. You misunderstood me.
Okay.
No, I agree with, politically speaking, mm-hmm. practically speaking, I agree with what Evan Bayh just said, the senator
mm-hmm.
from
Indiana.
This has nothing to do with whether I think it's a fair deal at all to have the impeachment in the impeachment hearings in the first place. But if you're asking me what's the best strategy probably for the Democrats at this point, because they're not going to succeed in the Senate, right,
mm-hmm.
is to do like Evan Bayh says, their former senator from Indiana, just say, hey, we had to have these investigations because we believe the president did wrong here and we think it was serious. And we wanted the American people to know all the facts, but we'll let them decide in November whether or not this has legs or not, or whether the consequences should be as severe as removing him from office. I think that would be a smart strategy, and Nancy Pelosi off the hook, so to speak, mm-hmm. for pressing this thing even further. But
both options are the same. This is my opinion. Both options are the same for the Democrats in terms of what they can get out of it. They can impeach the president. I have zero doubt that Democratic leadership wants that word on Donald Trump for the rest of his life, impeached by the House. So they can impeach and vote articles of impeachment, mm-hmm. lose in the Senate, but have their motivations probably revealed by the Senate trial. So, yes, you do slap impeachment on President Trump, but then it becomes clear that this was all a political sham. So,
can the Republicans in the Senate call witnesses?
Yes, they'll be in charge.
They call Adam Schiff, for example.
Now, I'm not sure whether you can compel a House member to come, but they'll be in charge of.
What about the Bidens? Can they have the Bidens testify?
I don't think the Democrats want that.
It's a different process.
Well, but what I'm saying is the only other option would be for the Democrats to not vote for impeachment, go through all this and try to tear down popularity for the president and just maybe censure him and then hope that kind of a smear campaign has some leftover juice for the 2020 election. Neither of those options are very good. Once they started down this road, they're not going to get articles of impeachment and Trump removed from office. And that's what the radical part of their base has been hoping for. That's not going to happen. So they've got to hope for second or third best in terms of what happens.
You mentioned Nancy Pelosi there a minute ago.
Who did?
Oh, you did.
I did?
President, you did. You mentioned Nancy Pelosi.
It was kind of a horrified, you know, tone when you said it, but.
See, I'm doing good at this because I try to forget as quickly as possible. When I use words like Nancy Pelosi,
yes.
I try to forget I've said them as quick as possible because it helps my soul.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
so that's so you're saying I did say that name.
You mentioned the name of the House Speaker. Yes,
NP.
Sir. You did.
A few minutes ago.
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought I would bring this up because you're kind of wondering, you know, you would think this would be high on her radar. She's at home to oversee things, maybe be in meetings or whatever. Where is Nancy today? It's funny no one asked because I'm going to tell you anyway.
Where in the world is Nancy Pelosi?
Where in the world is Pelosi? Yes. She is leading a delegation of Democrats to a UN climate conference in Madrid. A bunch of people that are concerned about what they call man-made global warming are gathering in Madrid from starting today through December 13th. And Nancy Pelosi is going to be there with a bunch of Democrats. They all flew over there in giant emitters to warn the world about emissions and how we need to save people from it. And, you know, I don't know if Greta Thunberg is going to be there. She's probably in school since she was so concerned about not being there a few weeks ago. But, yeah, Nancy is in Madrid. Horrible place to be in December.
Oh, man.
Your sarcasm is just palpable. Listen. If it seems to me, if you're a real climate change believer, mm-hmm. you have these conferences, you FaceTime it.
Skype
or something, and they're going to go, and they're going to go to their parties and their soirees and their cocktail.
Talk about how much concern there is for this.
Yes, after they flew there. They're going to meet at night and have these big lavish dinners and burning the electricity in the middle, you know, right. all through the dark hours. And that's why I say they're not true believers. They're not true believers.
Like the Hollywood, you know, and the billionaire elites that met over the summer in Italy.
Yeah,
and they flew in all their private planes from all over the world. Carbon emissions just through the roof, so to speak. To talk about global.
That's why
Prince Harry's there delivering the keynote speech barefooted or something like that. It's just so. These people don't really believe this. They've just got a cause that they are behind.
And everyone applauds.
To virtue signal.
Yes.
Yeah.
I issue my challenge once again for the, you know, the Greta, what is it, Thunberg, mm-hmm. the Swedish 16-year-old.
You ruined my life.
How dare you? How dare you? I issue my challenge to all these people. If you really believe it, then start. We just got through Thanksgiving. Start talking turkey. I want to hear these people, Prince Harry, whoever, you know, these Hollywood people start saying, do not go to our movies at night. We want theaters shut down at night. We want sports games shut down at night. It uses too much electricity mm-hmm. and too much power, and our carbon footprint is going through the roof. You see my movies during the daytime because that's going to save energy. Until you start doing that, right. I call you out as a liar. I don't believe you.
I did see, duly noted, good point. I did see last week, you know, there's a rock band called Coldplay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They've been very popular the last 10 years or so. Or their popularity, I guess, is not what it once was. But still, they're very well
known. Old people still like them.
They're very well known. And they announced that they were stopping touring because they wanted, to your point, that they are stopping touring because they are committed to, they don't want to have the carbon emission footprint. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say, go ahead.
Respect to them.
Okay, you say respect to them, and I agree. Agree. That is living up to your words.
Right.
Yeah.
However, it is much easier to say we're going to quit touring after we've made $1 billion.
That's true.
Touring.
Yeah.
They made all their money touring for the last 10 years, and they're killing it. They don't need any more money, so they've decided they're not going to tour anymore.
Yeah.
To save the planet.
It would be like somebody who's on the verge of retiring from the NFL saying, I think we should stop having games at night. Right. Well, yeah, what do you care? You're in the Hall of Fame. And
you've already made your money.
You're retiring.
Yeah,
how brave.
You don't hear any upstart bands who are about to make it big saying, hey, we're committed to not touring because we want to save our carbon footprint.
That's why I say these people are not true believers. They're just virtue signals.
Yeah. What at least two presidential candidates right now, two candidates for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination, Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, both of those are what we would call alarmists, where they're sounding
called what now?
Alarmists. They're sounding the alarm over climate change and emissions, things like that. I've mentioned this before, but Warren's campaign has a contest in which you can enter, and if you are the person they draw out of a hat or whatever, they will fly you out to wherever she was flown out to, so that way you can have a coffee, a drink, or a beer, or whatever, that's how they word it, with Elizabeth Warren. Mayor Pete will actually fly you out to San Francisco so you can watch a musical with him and some other people.
Who wins this?
People that enter campaign sweepstakes. So basically, they're being hypocrites because they're sounding the alarm over airlines and emissions, but then they'll fly you out.
Look,
wherever.
I'm just going to cut to the chase. What is chase exactly?
I don't know, but it deserves to be cut to.
Okay, well, we're going to cut to it right here with this, and that is this is all about controlling the American economy, ultimately. And the Western economy, but certainly the American economy. I think I'm talking about the global warming crowd, the alarmist you're talking about. I'm sure there are some of them who really believe it. I'm talking about man-made global warming. Okay, there may be global warming somewhere,
right?
And I personally wish we would have more of it where I live. Because January, February,
today.
I sincerely miss golf, and it hurts my feelings. But no, in all seriousness, I don't think that. So some people really believe it. Mm-hmm. Some people are in it for. So people will say you're a wonderful person. You care about
right.
the planet.
Yeah,
like Coldplay or these celebrities who want to be. They want to be applauded by the world and get awards from each other for caring about the planet. But if you pull back the curtain, the people that are behind pushing global warming, man-made global warming, so that they can control, so you scare the mess out of everybody, say we're all going to burn up, right, because of man-made global warming. Then what they say, well, what's the solution? The solution is a globalist, socialist type of control over the American economy so that you put in regulations. This is what President Trump's talked about with the Paris Accord. You remember this? Mm-hmm. So you put in regulations that hand tie the American business community in the name of saving the planet. And that's what they want to do here. That's what the socialists want. That's what the what's the guy's name that funds all the left wing groups in America?
George Soros.
Soros. That's what the Soros crowd. That's what those who were would. That's what they want to do. And this goes. So this
and,
is
and a one world government. That
it's related.
Yeah,
it's related. If you control
the globalists.
You control the American economy, the Western economy, with globalist people. And you submit to them. You submit to them because if you don't, the world's going to burn up.
Right.
And they have all the answers. Now, as President Trump has rightly said, where's China and India and all these other countries? Why is it just America that we have to handcuff ourselves with all these new regulations in the name of we're the cleanest country in the world compared to China and
right.
India and these other countries who they're not going to have to submit. To these regulations, but we want America to
right.
So, anyway, I don't believe I'm not a scientist, obviously, but I've studied it enough to know I don't believe in man-made global warming. I'm not saying there isn't global warming that's natural.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
Are cyclical, as they say. If you look down through as much history as we can look at, there's been cyclical changes in the weather patterns
right.
on planet Earth, and there probably always will be. There you go. I think this is an effort to control America economically by the socialist / environmentalist.
Maybe Coldplay should have changed its name to Hot Play. Maybe that.
You're on to something right
maybe
there.
Maybe they'd say, listen.
They can make a statement.
That's right. We're going to change our name to Hot Play because global warming, blah, blah, blah.
Right. That would be... You talk about virtue signaling. Yes, they would get all kind of Grammy awards.
Oh, yeah.
Just for changing their name.
Changing their name.
And the award for changing their name to save the planet goes to Hot Play.
Hot Play.
All right, we will return with more in just a moment with today's issues. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Moses is our 10-year-old, and I take each of them for kind of a private time. And I, out of the clear blue, my grandson Moses asked me why people make fun of Donald Trump.
We'll also talk with Jerry Lawson, AFA Button supporter extraordinaire. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I am currently reading a book titled 1776 by David McCullough. I would highly recommend this book about our country's founding. It's been on my to-do list for 10 years, and I finally got around to it. But an excellent book it is, and a lot of it's about the life of George Washington. What an amazing story. Without George Washington, I doubt I would be talking to you today. That's how instrumental and important he was to our country's founding. He was a man used by God. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon, his home, on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June and September. Our tours in June and September, Spiritual Heritage Tours to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. And then we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, that's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, a place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. Starbucks has apologized after one of its baristas wrote the word pig on a police officer's order. It happened on Thanksgiving Day in Kiefer, Oklahoma. Police Chief Johnny O'Mara expressed his disgust with the incident in a Facebook posting. He said it was absolute and total disrespect for a police officer. The police officer had dropped by Starbucks on Thanksgiving to pick up some coffee for the department's dispatchers. It was the officer's way to say thank you for working on a holiday. A Starbucks spokesperson told Fox 25 News they were deeply sorry for what happened. They said the barista has been suspended pending the outcome of their investigation. In other words, another perpetually offended snowflake will soon be on the unemployment line. As for Starbucks, it's nice they apologized, but it's not the first time officers have been treated with disrespect in one of their coffee houses. Maybe that explains why their coffee always tastes so bitter. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. If you want to watch the show and have access to the stories that we're talking about, we do that on our Facebook page. Just type in Today's Issues, our Facebook page, and you can the stories that we talk about, we have the original news source there for you. And also you can, comment on the program if you would like to. We also have live video streaming at our YouTube page. So YouTube, type in Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano with yours truly, Tim Wildman. Chris Woodward is here with us today, sitting in for Fred Jackson. What do you got?
Well, listen, it's time for our AFA Nice or Naughty list here for 2019, where we ask the question, which stores recognize Christmas and which ones are a Scrooge? That's right, Ebenezer Scrooge. So just a few years ago, I think we've made this clear over the years, roughly 80% of the nation's retailers ignored the use of Christmas in their stores and in advertising, choosing instead to use the politically correct terms happy holidays or holiday sales. Well, that has changed because
yes.
our listeners have gotten involved in this fight. So we want you to stand with us and other Christians in proclaiming that Christmas is special, not just any other winter holiday. So you can help us fight the war on Christmas. If you visit AFA.net, we have our naughty or nice list. Don't forget to sign up for the AFA action lists, that action alerts. That's AFA.net. Now, for those naysayers who go, well, this is you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Who cares about what a store does for Christmas? We've always made it clear that this is part, only part, of the broader push by secularists to push Christianity to the fringes of our culture. So this war on Christmas is real. It may not be the biggest thing in the world that we're fighting, but it is one of the fronts on which we are pushing back against the secularist dream of a
nation.
And
we're winning.
And we're winning. And that is because people get involved and they contact the people on the naughty list.
So how do you find out this? What it is, these are a list of stores that do acknowledge Christmas, and there's a list of stores, and these are national chains, that don't acknowledge Christmas.
That's right.
And so where do you find this?
You can just simply visit AFA.net to see the list. And then if you also want to sign up for our action alerts, you can do that at AFA.net as well.
So check that out. Here's what I've always found a little interesting, if mystifying, is that especially retail stores, they make a lot of profit at the end of the year off what?
Christmas sales. Christmas sales.
So who raise your hand if you buy special gifts for your loved ones and friends and family for New Year's.
Right.
Huh? Who does that? Do the kids come downstairs looking for what Santa brought? On Thanksgiving?
No.
No, we all know that it's Christmas that drives the gift buying season, which saves a lot of companies in America. And all we've said is if you're going to make money off Christmas, at least acknowledge it.
Right.
Don't run from it. You know, so a lot of companies have so, and you're right. People may say, well, that's, you're, kind of making a mountain out of a molehill, to use your expression. Well, yes and no, because ultimately the goal of the secular progressives in this country, as Ed says, is to diminish the role of Christianity. Well, one of the ways you do that is you take away the major Christian holidays from the national lexicon. So you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't. This is why. So that's part of it. Is they would like to wipe away any mention of Christmas.
Right.
Because why? Because it mentions Jesus Christ, and it's a federal holiday, and it's religious. So they want to do away with that. And how do you do it? You say, well, you know, we don't want to say Merry Christmas because it offends non-Christians. That's the kind of ridiculous language, that's the argument that they use.
Yeah, and most non-Christians have said in surveys, we don't care if someone wishes us Merry Christmas. We're at the store to buy Christmas presents for our kids.
Right, that's even though they may not be Christians.
They may not be Christians.
Yeah, so anyway, kudos to those companies that are keeping Christmas in their advertising campaigns. Do you have a two or three of them?
I do have here groups that have changed their marketing programs in response. Lowe's, Walmart.
In a good way?
Big Lots, yes, who changed their advertising in a good way because they were on the naughty or nice list.
Right, yeah. Right.
This is why I think, I know sometimes we have like, we laugh about it and we kind of roll our eyes, but this is why I think some of the efforts to like change Columbus Day spill over
Same
into
thing.
The argument on Christmas.
Same
because
thing.
Christmas, it's a federal holiday, as you mentioned. It's the one of the only, if not the only, religious holiday that is a federal holiday. So if people who want to get rid of Columbus Day or call it something else get their way, and get it on paper, on record, this is the way it's going to be, you're setting up all the other holidays as dominoes, and Christmas will at some point be the one they go for.
These people want to do away with the Christian heritage of our country. Okay, so every opportunity they get to diminish that or to attack that, they take. That includes the war on Christmas. That's why they want to change everything that says Christmas. They want to change to some generic holiday, or even if they want to say that.
I do have Brent Creeley, our producer, brought me.
Way to go, Brent.
Way to go. So on the naughty list right now, we have the following companies: Barnes and Noble, Dick's Sporting Goods, Gap, Office Max, Staples, TJ Maxx, Walgreens, PetSmart, Office Depot, Old Navy, Foot Locker.
So these companies are not acknowledging,
right,
as far as we know, Christmas. And so we're not saying boycott or not, folks. That's up to you. We're just putting out the list of the
Sometimes it all it takes is contacting some of these companies.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, listen.
That's worked time and time again.
Yes,
by the
it
way,
has.
Because some of these companies you're about to mention that are on the good list have responded to people saying,
there's a list of companies on the good the good list.
This is some of them.
The nice list. Okay,
these are the good guys.
Yes.
On this.
Bed Bath & Beyond, Books A Million, Harbor Freight, Home Depot, Kroger. Let me skip over to the next Belk.
Glad Kroger's
on
there.
AFA Online Store. We're on the good list. Big Lots, Cracker Barrel. Boy, you know Cracker Barrel's all about Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Since July. Yeah. So Hallmark, Hobby Lobby, JCPenney, Sam's Club, Toys R Us.
So where can you find this list?
This is at AFA.net.
Okay.
By the way, I oftentimes shop at Kohl's for clothes.
Yeah.
They're on the naughty list. I'm going to give the local guy, local manager, maybe a woman, a call and say, hey, listen, I shop there a lot. And
need to put Christmas back in.
I want Christmas on. So
yeah, people buy. It's the Christmas buying season that saves the retail businesses from going in the red.
I'm gonna go to a store in February, and as I'm walking out, I'm gonna go Happy Holidays, just to see like what the reaction is from everybody there.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did we put that on our Facebook page? So go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can see the naughty and nice list of stores, and you might consider that when you go shopping for the holidays.
It's laughable on its face.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember when I started here almost 10 years ago, it was kind of a lopsided. You had a few stores that were on the nice and a whole bunch of naughty. And as you guys pointed out, a lot of stores did move back into the nice category. So,
yeah, you're right. I think a lot of people commented to these stores, hey, if you're going to make money because people Christmas shop, why are you embarrassed to say Merry Christmas? Or, yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying Happy Holidays either. I mean, but don't do it to the exclusion of Christmas. And these a lot of these companies were doing it intentionally because they were buying into the argument that if we say Christmas, we're going to offend non-Christians. That's nutty, as Ed says here. Prove that. Where is that true?
Mm-hmm.
What statistical or...
No, I wrote an article a couple of years ago about this, and surveys that have been done, these are by the retail industry, and they found out that 95% of people don't care if you mention Christmas, wishing them
You're not
Merry
offending
Christmas.
Them, not even non-Christians.
You're not offending these people.
Right.
And even if they're not Christians, they expect that because they're at the store to buy stuff for Christmas, even if they don't celebrate the birth of the Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Chris, next story.
Well, I want to bring this in because it does involve Thanksgiving that we were just talking about briefly there with our discussion of the Nutty or Nice list. Last week, Colin Kaepernick made headlines again because Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL player who made a decision to kneel during the national anthem and as a result not be in the NFL anymore, Mr. Kaepernick went to an event in the San Francisco area called the Indigenous Peoples Sunrise Ceremony, otherwise known as
he was there?
Un-Thanksgiving.
Yes. I was there.
Yeah.
our paths never crossed. Are you serious?
You were there, huh?
Okay. So, yeah, I didn't know that. But for those that were not there and are not aware of the event that I'm describing here, on Thanksgiving, it was held on Alcatraz Island in San Francisco. The event is intended to celebrate the anniversary of Native Americans occupying the famous island, which previously served as the site of a federal prison. Kaepernick tweeted later, the U.S. government has stolen over 1.5 billion acres of land from indigenous people. Thank you to my indigenous family. I'm with you today and always. So Kaepernick back in the headlines, this time for speaking at an un-Thanksgiving celebration and being critical of the U.S. I have some sound here.
Oh, good.
This is from a – it's not from Cap. This is a former NFL player turned Marine veteran. He's also running for Congress now. His name is Jeremy Stott. He was on Fox and Friends today speaking out against Colin Kaepernick and his protest. Clip four.
One of the things I have with problem with Kaepernick is that, you know, if you want to be part of the solution, go out and find ways to make the problem better. Don't go out and attack individuals who are just going out there and doing their jobs, like law enforcement officers, the brave men and women who are out there protecting our way of life, essentially protecting us from each other. You know, don't attack them. They're not the reason for the problem. You know, the problem I have is that, you know, as a congressional candidate, you know, I want to change the VA system, but I'm not going to go into the hospitals and start attacking the doctors and the RNs and the administrators for doing, trying to do their job when they don't have the resources. So you have to find, you know, where the problem is. Right. Is established. And for me, it's in Congress.
Now, you look, know, Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, first of all, I'm about tired of talking about him because he's a nobody. Okay? And I don't mean nobody in the sense that he doesn't have value in the eyes of God. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm saying his day is over. His run is through. This is probably the last we'll be talking about him because he's a communist is what he is. He hates America. If you're going to a non-Thanksgiving, what do you call it?
Un-Thanksgiving.
You're going to an un-Thanksgiving event, and what he's among those who say that America is illegitimate because we stole it from the Indians. Okay, That's what he's saying. The white European stole America from the indigenous people. That's what he's, if that's where you're coming from, and maybe you need to move to Antarctica, all right?
Well, the this is my opinion. Yeah, the United States did steal land. They did that. And you know what? I'm not excusing it, but young, vibrant nations do it all the time. And the Native Americans did it to one another. Because when you're young and you're vibrant, you push out groups that can't stay with you on the battle.
It's happened since the beginning of the world.
It is. I'm not saying that it was right what the United States did when it was in its expansionist mode. But this is what – there were entire tribes of Indians wiped out by each other. And I am not saying that excuses anyone else.
So the indigenous people were wiping out indigenous people.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Yes.
In very brutal.
Absolutely.
And savage ways, I might add.
I'm just saying that if from the fall of the Roman Empire, you can, every group that gets pushed out and subjugated by a younger, more vigorous group, or more technologically savvy in the case of the white man coming to this continent, that is the way it has been since Cain and Abel. And I'm getting tired of simply blaming the United States for doing what everybody else has done.
Right,
as
and
if
well,
we're a
and,
special
and,
case
and we,
of
and we haven't,
evil.
Yeah, and that's a situation where we haven't, that's been rare, what you're describing as part of our history.
Right.
Our history of the United States, because of our Christian heritage, and our Judeo-Christian heritage, has been not to take over lands.
Right. When we had the opportunity.
When we had the opportunity. We've not conquered lands and kept them.
We didn't keep Western Europe. There were other allies involved, but we didn't stay like the Soviet Union stayed in Eastern Europe.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Why didn't Colin Kaepernick celebrate that?
Right.
Huh? No, he's got to go on. And that view is held by probably 0.5% of the American public. But
that's
it's
being kind, it, perhaps.
Yeah, it's an extreme. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe 1% of Americans subscribe to that. But this is a far left, far, far left narrative, is that it's the European white men who have, you know,
responsible for all the world's evils.
Right.
And so you want to say to these people, but you can't argue with them anyway, well, what do you suggest we do about it? There's 330 million people here.
What?
Would you want us all move back to Europe and double the population of that continent? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I mean,
and you're right. I mean, this is the history of the world, and America has not participated in subjugating people or taking over countries or regions because we could, because we had the power and the might and the strength to do it.
Right.
Like other countries continue to do today. We don't do that, but Colin Kaepernick, instead of, you know, so he wants to complain about, what is he complaining about? He wants to celebrate with the indigenous people. And as you said, the indigenous people, he acts like Kaepernick and these people who want to celebrate indigenous people.
Right.
They act like there was a sovereign country here in what we call North America, United States, where it was one indigenous people across America who
right.
shared peace pipes.
Yeah.
Huh? And that's what it was. And as you said, no, it was all these tribes who warred with each other over what? Over land.
Yeah, huh? I mean, the Aztecs down in Central America were absolutely, they brutalized their neighbors and used them for human sacrifice, tearing their hearts out. Okay, they were indigenous people. Is those the ones you're supporting, Colin Kaepernick?
Right. There's a reason Thomas Jefferson and others knew that a lot of these, what we would call Indian tribes, were savages in the way that they treated one another in war.
Right.
That's this. We spent 5 minutes on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But I will say this. We're not talking just about Colin Kaepernick. We are talking about this worldview that is held by some on the far, far left, that, you know, the problems of the world are all caused by the white European or our descendants thereof.
Let me just say, to just the Comanches moved, my understanding historically, down from the northern part of the country, the land at the time. There was no country there out west. And when they started using horses, they became some of the finest light cavalry the world has ever seen. And they crushed other tribes, completely enslaving
other indigenous people.
Other
tribes.
Indigenous people. I'm just telling you, this is human nature. And it's people like Colin Kaepernick who won't, apparently anymore, he used to be a Christian, I guess, maybe he still is, who won't subscribe to the biblical narrative of human nature in its fallen condition. And if you do, if you understand human nature, then you're not surprised when one people take over another people. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's not just Americans and it's not just white people who do it.
But the United States has basically, in our history, have been very restrained.
Yes, according to what we could have done.
Right.
Yeah. We could have taken over a lot of...
We could have taken Canada. We could have taken Mexico.
Right. If you are Iraq, how about Iraq?
Yeah, and kept it.
And kept the oil field and said, no, they're to the victor go the spoils. They're ours.
Yeah.
If we'd have wanted to.
That's right.
That's the history of the world, right?
We could have stayed in Western Europe and said, well, we're here.
Right.
The Soviets are in Eastern Europe.
So we claim this land.
Yeah.
We're going to take all the natural resources here, and they're ours.
France, we're not giving you back your country. We're keeping it. Thanks for the wine and cheese. Appreciate it.
It is a pretty country.
All right,
I'm just getting lit up on this.
I'm not going to bring up Kaepernick anymore because I need money to buy my hand.
Nike, you know what? I was a big Nike fan, but I'm not buying any more Nike. I usually go in their stores, but I'm not going. No, because they celebrated this guy.
Yeah.
This American anti-Americanism represented by the ideas of Colin Kaepernick, which is, he's an ignorant man. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if he's ignorant or not. Maybe he just Well, he is ignorant of the truth.
Right.
But I will say this. Nike felt the need to write him a big check.
Yes.
To say how proud we are of you for standing up for something.
A man who wore socks to practice that called police pigs.
Yeah.
Nike said, good for you.
Yeah, we're into that.
So,
I think he's been spotted wearing like a Fidel Castro t-shirt over the years too. That'll win fans.
Yeah, Che Guevara and all them.
All right, what else you got, Chris?
Well, circling back to a big topic there at the start of the show, it's going to be a December to remember.
Is it, Chris?
It is, because we've got the impeachment proceedings continuing this week, this time at the House Judiciary Committee. And then,
You know what? I know a great song.
What's that?
I'll be home for impeachment. What do you think? Think that could be a hit?
I know a studio where you can record it.
I know you have to have somebody else sing it, but I'm just saying I think I'm onto something. I think the American people would love that song. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
Well, it's definitely going to be a big month of news because we've got the impeachment stuff going on. Uh-huh. And then next week, we've got a report coming out that it feels like we've been talking about for 6 years now. The Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report.
I don't believe it.
On allegations of the FISA warrant abuse during the 2016 election is going to be released on December 9th. You say you don't believe it because
it's like Bigfoot.
We've been talking about it for a while.
I saw it. I'm telling you I saw it. Or in this case, I'm releasing it. I'm saying I'm releasing this report.
Yeah. We've been hearing this for a year.
It'll come out on Friday afternoon after you've done the show. After trivia and everything is wrapped up,
When it's coming out?
It's going to come out on December 9th, so a week from today, supposedly.
Hey, you know what also starts on December 9th? A bowl game every night for about 2 weeks, weeks, huh?
So you think there's some connection there?
I think there's some connection.
They want it to be buried in the college
bowl season? Every night there's a bowl game.
If you want to do the family general poinsettia holiday surprise mashed potato bowl, I'll fall for it.
He's naming all the bowl games. Oh.
My favorite bowl game name over the years, though, there was a Weed Eater Bowl.
It's the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl in Shreveport.
Yes.
That was the name of it. So people, but because the weed eater is a product that you use in the yard, and they were advertising their bowl.
We've had different bowls.
The weed eater bowl.
What's been one of your favorite names?
It does sound. But you're right. You do have all kinds.
Was it the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl or something?
There's been Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. There's been the Poinsettia Bowl. I think that one's
Poinsettia.
I think that's gone.
Thank you.
Poinsettia.
I've never heard.
There was one.
Far be it for me to correct somebody's pronunciations of words, because go ahead. I've done my fair share.
There's been a lot of bowl games over the years. There was one though in Boise, Idaho, where the Boise State plays.
Yeah.
And it's in
late
December, early January. I'd probably get it wrong if I pronounced it, but I've always wondered
that's the Blue Field.
Yes.
Does that drive anyone else crazy when you watch
the Blue
that on
Field?
TV?
You want to adjust your TV?
Yeah.
Hey, do you know that birds dive into that stadium grass?
Thinking it's the sky?
Thinking it's a lake.
A lake?
Wow.
I'm talking about it's the stadium at Boise State University.
It's got blue turf.
It's got blue turf. If they broadcast a game from there, you'll see what we're talking about. But, yeah, birds have been known to dive in.
What was
in
the name of the bowl that you liked there?
He said poinsettia twice. Is that what it was?
Yeah, making his family proud.
There's also the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl in San Diego, the home of the former San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, every company's got their bowl game.
It used to be the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl.
Named after a fruit or a color.
Yes,
one of the two.
Half the schools go to bowl games now. Somebody's making money. I don't know on that, but.
It's good. It's all for education. I'm for educating
the education
kids.
Huh?
I'm for educating the little
but
children.
But you're right. There used to only be about 8 to 10 bowl games.
Yeah.
Right.
Now there's literally 30.
You're going to get in at 3-7 at some point.
All right.
Chris, good job.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Thank you, Chris. We shall return. Steve Jordahl is in our green room. And he'll be on with us after the break.
We don't actually have a green room. It is actually outside our studio. It's green, but it's not a green room in terms of having food. And
we will We will be back in 5 minutes after the news with more of today's issues here on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.